Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, what's popping, y'all? Y'all know the vibes already, man. It's 3 and Watts, man. Watts, what's good, my G? Yeah. Yo. Yo. Hold on, let's try this again. Watts, what's good, fam?
What's good, brother?
How you?
What it do, man?
You know the vibes already, man. Let's get into this, Watts. Obviously, we knew about the Trust Gang, Black Soprano family linking up to do a project, Watts. If anybody's blind to the show, we've got big supporters of 38 Special and Benny the Butcher. Obviously, these guys are linking up and grabbing crews and putting crews together. And then here comes the Trust Soprano project. First off, are you shocked that we got this before Stab and Shot 2, sir?
No. I'm not shocked.
Okay. Do you have issues with the fact that Spesh and Benny names are on every song, but they're not on every song? Is that bad business for the public thinking that we're getting a Spesh and Benny on every track?
No, because that's what Stab and Shot is. If this was called Stab and Shot, then it's Benny and Spesh. But this was their crews, their teams. Trust team, that those are the people that are with Spesh. And then you have Sopranos, which is Benny's crew. So I expect both crews to collaborate.
Ricky Hyde, my man, and all that, you know. I'll be honest, though. If I'm a consumer of this and I buy this and I see Benny and Spesh's name on every song, I'm going to automatically think they're on every song. Like, I hate to be this guy. On Ghostface's Iron Man album, on Faster Blade, it says Ghostface featuring Raekwon, but it's a Raekwon solo. But that's neither here nor there, Watts. You know what I mean? Let's get into this, man. First song, Immunity, not Diplomatic Immunity, Immunity, featuring El Camino. El Camino sets it off. His battle was more, you know, I think it was a dope beat he had. Benny had the second verse. These bitches out of their mind. They think this dough is their pussy. This didn't give me the jackpot feel that I got on Friend of Ours, to be honest with you, Watts. Talk to me, man. Immunity featuring El Camino.
I like this song. I'm a fan of El Camino. I like El Camino's Max B vibes. You could tell he was someone who liked Max B's music as he was growing up. He likes to do his little harmony singing mixed with rapping. That's what El Camino's known for. Him and Benny basically have some raw verses going at women. You know, Camino says, I take a bitch to the Waffle House. If the bitch ugly, I kick her out. I'm like, damn. Then Benny said, she fucked the first night. That is going to get her stood up. I'm like, damn, these dudes are just vicious out here. But like you said, I think this is a dope production. I think it's a dope, very solid song to set off the album.
And listen, I'm going to say this also. I think Max B, Bigger Vell, the Silver Surfer, does not get a lot of props with a lot of people, man. J400 Block from Battle Rap, I see you when you do music. A lot of y'all got a little Max B flavor in your voice box, how you do your shit. But that's cool, though. Next song, Watson, Corner, not to be confused with Common Sense, The Corner on the B album featuring El Camino. This is El Camino on his Max B solo joint from El Camino. El Camino talking about coming off the corner, niggas dying left and right. Watch. Talk to me, man.
This was, like you said, a harmonizing El Camino. El Camino, he's talking about life on the corner. To me, this gives me a smooth, laid-back vibe. It's the beat is smooth. It's laid-back with the production. It's a smooth listen. Like, put it this way, it's for you to get what I'm saying, this is not fast-forward material. So far, I'm letting the tape play, and I'm not fast-forwarding anything.
Next song, Price of Fame with Class Murder, Ransom, and Shay Noor. This, to me, is my favorite song on this project. Class Murder, who does represent Trust Gang. My Weed by KRS-One, it got a nose on it. I thought clearly the MVP of this song was Ransom. That man said, look in the eyes of your closest friends and see who is for you. Now look in the eyes of them same friends and see who destroys you. Damn, get paid handsomely, but actually ugly. Don't smile when you shake my hand. Don't ever laugh when you hug me. I love Shay Noor's verse also. Once again, RIP to Shay Noor's brother, who passed away. They put a black person for sale. These churches entail that the man we worship is pale. If you can read this, that's why they murder the males. Now, it's ironic how these niggas can't catch a sentence before they learn how to spell. Like, she was wilding on here, too, man. I rock with this song, Watch. This is my favorite song on this project, King.
This is a top song on the album, without question. Ransom has been on his Jadakiss, not spitting a whack verse in memory. If you just recently think about everything, since for you slow dudes, I'm going to break it down. Ransom came back outside rapping, and he's been rapping with Nicholas Craven. He has not spit anything close to a whack verse. He's spit nothing but the best verses on songs and the best verses on albums. Like you said, this is arguably the top song on this album. I like the way Class Murder set it off. Why are you quoting the exact same thing I'm quoting? I would like to know why when you said get paid handsomely, but actually ugly. Don't smile when you shake in my hand. Don't ever laugh when you hug me. I know the cut of your jib. Don't ask if you love me. This fifth will crush up your rib and blow up half your scully. Yeah.
So, yeah,
man,
the
clarity and the confidence that Ran rapped that verse was just like, he's rapping like, I know I'm the nicest. I know it, and I'm just going to prove it. And I'm going to just say this about Shay Noor. R.I.P. Shay Noor's brother. R.I.P. I can't even imagine what she's going through. But my God, Shay Noor sounds
fire.
Her mic presence and her,
she's
in complete control.
She's gotten better since the first time me and you seen Shorty and reviewed her project from three years ago to now.
Question.
She's on different levels now.
I think Shay Noor's mic presence, she's in complete control how she sounds on songs. Complete command. She's going ball for ball with Duffel. Dope production. This is the main highlight for me also. I agree with you.
Let me say this also. Watch it. I don't know if you feel me on this, cousin. Can we get some more Ransom and Shay Noor joints together, King? Can we get that? I'm with that. Sign me up for that. I'm here for that. I'm here for more Ransom and Shay Noor.
Trust has given us that, so I'm with you. I'm with you on that. So stay on the same team, so we're going to get more of that.
Word. Next song, Spineless. Obviously, this is the first song we heard of his project with Benny the Butcher and Ransom. Me and Watson have spoken about this. Nothing has changed, in my opinion, Watts. I still have Ransom with the clear, better verse than Benny. Pardon, just being honest with y'all, I don't like this beat. And this song been out for a while, and I can't say I've actually spun the block numerous times on this song, gang.
I spin the block on this song, and if you give this song the whip test, it sounds – this. Let me just how real it is. The song sounds completely different on this album. It just sounds different to me. I gave it the whip test, and it sounds different on here, where I'm more used to the beat, I guess, because I've been listening to it. So it's not that I spin the block on this song. I never stopped listening to it. It's been I playlisted this song. But once again, Ransom with the best verse. I don't know what that means, because Ransom also had the best verse on the soundtrack. So I don't know. Is Ransom making a lyrical statement in hip hop three? I don't know what's going on, but
what that means, brother, is that he's spitting better than anybody right now. I don't know if it's a nigga right now. I love RJ Payne. I love Benny Conway. Love you niggas. Banks, I see you. I hear my guy. Shout out Joel Ortiz, Crook, Graff. Love y'all. Royce. But right now, I think Ransom, like you said a second ago, it's on his, like, Jadakiss never spit one whack verse in the 90s. since his return back to the game and the link, him and Nicholas Craven linking up, the nigga's bodying everything he's on, dogs. He's bodying every track he's on. You know what I mean? So, next song, Watts, Tokyo Drift, Apicino. I hope I'm proud to about his name
and,
right. And 38 Special.
Pacino. And Pacino, man.
Right? I would think this brother represents 38 Special Squad. He's not part of Black Soprano Squad with Benny, Ricky Hyde, and my guy, he, but Besh, when he said, now this shit that I smoke is an engine starter. Good Lord, 38. That's some gas, my nigga. Drug talk from Spesh. The nigga said, kitchen crowded. Took the table out. Nowhere to sit. So many pounds on the floor. I could have made a couch. Good Lord, man. Talk to me, Watts. Tokyo Drift, man.
Spesh declared MVP of the song. I'm not familiar with Al Pacino. And Al Pacino's flow and delivery did not resonate with me. You know, usually when we hear a new dude like Keith Murray on Hostile, or when we hear Jay with the Damage on I'm the Man, like the first time we hear an unknown MC, something has to like click or stand out.
That's stand out.
With Al Pacino,
To what Watson is saying, you got to be your cannabis shit, man. When you rap with the Lost Boys and Red Man, dogs, if we don't know you.
But I'm not even going there. I didn't know who Keith Murray was on Hostile. I didn't know Jay Woody Damager was on I'm the Man. I did not know who AZ was on Life's a Bitch. These were unknown MCs, and it was the first time we'd ever heard them on WAC. So all I'm saying is that Al Pacino did not do it for me. And I don't know what that means. Does that mean I'm old and don't get I'm not with the flow? I don't understand what's going on. Maybe that's my fault. So I don't know what's going on, but
I don't think it's your fault,
his
though.
His verse did nothing for me.
I don't think it's your fault, though. Well, watch. I don't think it's your fault, though, because I'm on the front line with you with that. So that's just me, though. Next song, King. Long Story Short, featuring my guy, who I had on my list last year. If you listen to me and watch since 2020, songs of the albums of the year, projects of the year. We do this every year. You know what I'm saying? Nobody does it better. That's just my opinion, either hand or there. Heem, my guy Heem with the Dolo joint. I like this song. Heem's mixtape is still in rotation. From Heem, you got on this, I got Street Talk, Corner Talk, Send Shots. We Send Shots Back Talk, talking about, you know, snitching, seeing what, you know, what OG talking about, missing my mans and everything like that. Solid song from Heem, man. Long story short.
Well, here's a surprise for you. I like this song a lot. This was the sleeper song for me. Now, let's say why it's the sleeper song. Let me give you a quote from Heem. Feel like Kobe in his rookie year. I'm Jordan without the rings. Young Ginobili with the curly hair. Iron Mike in the first round. Like Ali on the ropes. Emmitt Smith for the first down. Now, why do I like that kind of talk, Three? Why
bars,
is that talk going to resonate
bars,
with me? Yeah, you're right.
Heavy
and it's sports
bars
that makes sense.
We see you, my guy.
And it's sports bars that make sense. So, this was a dope song for me, man. I like this song.
All right, watch. Next song, Load Up. Still sticking with the Black Soprano family here with Ricky Hyde and Heem. I like this joint. I like the hook from Ricky Hyde. Heem sets it off, talking about jail charges and everything. Heem Dolo with Ricky Hyde on the hook. Watts, talk to me.
Dolo song. This is a solid song. One verse. You know how we feel about one verse. If you're gonna one verse it, you got to give us Hungry. You're gonna one verse it. You got to give us that one verse of pure fire. So this is a solid song. This is not, I'll put it this way, I'm not spinning the block on this song. I'm just not.
Okay. Next song, Watts, Love Left, featuring Benny, Class Murder, and Shay Noor. Finally, we get a Shay Noor and Benny the Butcher song together. That's kind of dope. Benny sets it off. What you know about two snitches on separate cases? Get a light sentence off your lawyer reputation. Class Murder on the hook was okay. And then Shay, you know, I come from the Jungle Jets, Broadway, where my sisters and mother slept. It got so cold at times, it used to feel like the covers wet. Jesus Christ, the covers are wet. Wow, that's a, Chester Battle rapper could appreciate that, Shay, you know. Let me tell you. Talk to me, Watts, man. Love Left with Benny the Butcher, Class Murder, and Young Shay Shay.
This is another song that I think is a standout song on the album. I really like Class Murder's hook. I like the fact that, once again, Shay Noor is going bar for bar. Breath control, mic presence. This is one of my favorite songs on the album. Why do you think I like when Benny said, I used to get his scoring like Hakeem doing pulse moves? Why do you think I like that bar? Of course that bar is going to stand out to me.
Because the way Hakeem used to kill niggas, the way he did David Robinson so dirty in San Antonio in the finals. Did you dirty David Robinson? Did you filthy? Did my guy Shaq? Did my guy Ewing dirty too? Not as bad as David Robinson, though. And Shaq, he did Shaq dirty also. Kim Olajuwon, man.
Since I met the streets, we can never be separated. Come on, man. That's a real street line from there.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of niggas do say that, though. I feel like a lot of niggas say that, though, to be honest. I've heard, like, probably
okay,
say
well,
that.
I didn't hear
a lot
that
of
way.
Niggas.
I'm just telling you how okay. I heard it. This is one of the standout highlight songs for me. I really, really like this song. So let's be clear. Shay Noor is on two of the best songs on this album.
I agree. Next song, Watts, Blue Money, Benny the Butcher, El Camino, produced by 38 Special. I like this beat, 38 Special. Benny sets it off. You made your little songs and sold your little drugs. Don't let your Twitter buzz turn you into a little thug. Ask about me, nigga, my resume dipped in blood. You know what the past like mine, they be quick to judge. I like what Benny also said. Dope boys hit me when they need a team song. Whip it till it's white and yellow, look like cream corn. You got El Camino on the hook. And, yo, when Spence said, if we got the same plug, it's like we label mates. Good Lord, that was crazy. Talk to me, Watts. Blue Money, man.
Well, this is what I would call the quintessential stabbed and shot song. If this was a song on Stabbing
really?
Shot Part 2,
yeah.
I would not be mad at all. This is a – you just quoted what Benny said. How about I start quoting what Spesh said? When I put cash on the table breaks. I pump bass like the 808s and put powder in the pot like tomato paste. I get you, what are you doing here?
I think it's Spesh.
Like, Spesh didn't drop it? I feel this is boom bash. I feel that this is Benny and Spesh doing what they do best. And if this was a song on Stabbed and Shot 2, I would be very happy. This is another standout highlight song on the album.
So you got it as one of your favorite songs on here?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Next song, Watts. Last song here, Silent Death, featuring Rick Hyde, Chase Fetty. Mr. Chase Fetty, I've never heard of you, King. Pardon self. Ricky Hyde's second verse was a lot better, I thought. Rappers, can y'all stop with the revolution? We'll be televised bars. I'm so tired of hearing this kind of lines, though. This song is okay, Watts. Talk to me.
Never heard of the dude like you said, but he did say a line that I'm still trying to figure out. Don't quit your day job. My Texas bitch head so good I call her Face Mom. So when I hear that, I'm thinking, are you talking about, because, you know, that's what you call Scarface, right? Face Mom. But I don't get
yep.
I'm trying to figure it out.
The missing the job
face
part.
Mom,
like, listen, like Hov said, man, you put words just to match. And that was, there we go right there.
Okay, well, for whatever the reason is, I'm just trying to figure it out with that man, and I don't know why that I've been trying to figure it out. Rick Hyde had a movie
bar that I really like because I am the certified movie historian. Also,
yes, you are. Out of
we don't get into that.
Yes, you are.
Okay. He said, "You looking like Tom Cruise in Vanilla Sky." That was a fire bar because I remember the movie Vanilla Sky, and Tom Cruise's face was disfigured. So I thought that was a – so when he said, you looking like Tom Cruise in Vanilla Sky, I knew exactly what he meant. So that was an interesting way to end the album off.
I'm going here, Watts. I'm giving this project a 3.5 mics. I thought it was solid. Once again, I think Rance, like you said earlier, I think Shay Noah is on two of the best songs on here. Shout out to him. I wish I heard more Special on here. I won't lie to you at all. The beats on here was okay. Some of the dudes that came, Chase Fetty and the other brother I never heard of, shout out to y'all, but y'all didn't really stand out to me like that. I know Class Murder was on a couple of hooks and the joints and everything. It's cool. I got 3.5 mics, though.
I have this as a clear-cut 3.5 mics, source 90s rating before we knew that Benzino was cooking the book. The best songs on here to me are Price of Fame, Ransom, Shame, and Class Murder, Spineless, you need to spin the block on that, and the whip going down Washington, and I promise you when you're on Washington, spinning the block on that song.
I don't like that beat.
If you spin
I don't like
the
that
block
beat. I don't
Washington,
like that beat.
If you spin the block on Washington, not Collins, I'm specifically saying Washington Ave, you spin the block on that, play it, it might sound different. Love Left, another song that I really like. And Blue Money, another song, there's four four mic songs on here. But this is a solid project, and I'm giving it 3.5 mics.
All right, that's what it is, man. Shout out to Benny. Shout out to 38 Spaz. Shout out to the Trusted Piano Squad, Upstate New York Brothers, connecting to do this project. Shout out to everybody that was involved. All right, Watson, go ahead, man. Appreciation time, sir. I'm going here, man. I'm going to basketball talk, Watts. We don't do this a lot, but because of the NBA playoffs, I think we should try to get some NBA players' appreciation. Let's knock these out right quick, man. Dogs, I say Stephen Curry. You say what, my G?
Stephen Curry is the greatest shooter I personally have ever seen in my life. He literally defies there's words that can't describe how effortlessly and how easily he scores. Because it's not only that he has the long range. He has the mid-range, and he can lay the ball up, and he has the teardrop shot, and he can finish with both hands. So he's really an anomaly because he has no offensive weakness as an offensive player. And me and you remember when he was in that school, we had never heard of a day in our life.
Davidson.
Listen, let's be clear. Davidson. We never heard that school a day in our life. Am I lying when I say that?
That's a fact. That's a fact. Why? It is to piggyback on
that. That existed
at all. And let's go here real quick. Let's go here right quick. Let's stay with Davidson. Talk right quick. First of all, he set the all-time scoring record for both Davidson and the Southern Conference. He averaged 28-5. He was must-see TV. We had LeBron and all these guys came out to see him. Let me ask you this, Watts. Are you shocked that a lot of the big schools didn't reach out to him, the Indianas, the Dukes, the Carolinas? He's from, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't reach out to him. His father did play in the Charlotte area, Del Curry and all that. Davidson was the only school that really went hard body at him.
The NBA, the mentality of basketball in that era, they just thought he was just too small and fragile to be someone who could really impact the game. And boy, were they wrong. You said something earlier. I remember watching that game when LeBron was in the stands. Now, I don't know why I was watching Davidson and Steph Curry, but I remember they would go to the stands and LeBron is there watching him. So let's be clear. Steph Curry was officially on the map during that time when you got LeBron going to your games to see what the fuss is about.
That's And think about that. LeBron's coming to see you, fam. Think about this. Watch you in college. And LeBron James is coming to see you play. LeBron James. You know what I mean? Obviously, watch, we're going to highlight this right quick. His father, Del Curry, you and I, you know, a lot of you guys might have heard of him. But me and Watch had actually watched Del Curry play for the Charlotte Hornets, though. Let's be real, Watch. I don't even have to get on this. This is Del Curry appreciation. But he does get it from his daddy, not his mama, you know what I'm saying? And, yo, Del Curry with Larry Johnson and Lonzo Mourning, that was a big deal, no?
I don't think people realize how much respect we have for Del Curry.
Facts.
When I saw Steph Curry shooting, father was known for only one thing, coming off the bench and being
it.
Dead nice marksman. Like that's all he was known for.
Yeah.
He came off the bench.
Facts.
And could shoot and score. Like there was no fronting. No one thought, oh, is he going to do it? No, he did it. He come off the bench, and he could just shoot at will and score. So when he has a son, you're like, oh, that's Del Curry's son. You're still not
yep.
thinking this guy's going to be better than his pops. Like, there's no way to think that because we watched his pops come off the bench and effortlessly. Yeah.
Stay right there. Has there been a time – well, all right, maybe besides Ken Griffey Jr., right? Ken Griffey Jr. and Steph, are they only sons that might have been better than their pops? Or Barry Bonds' pops also, right? Barry Bonds also, maybe? Those three?
Barry Bonds' pops, yes. What about Grant Hill? Well, his pops play football.
Ah, Grant Hill. Yeah, I like that.
Jalen Rose might not have been better than
him. But watch, to be fair, though, Grant Hill's father did play football, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I said, can you say Grant Hill because he played something else?
Yeah.
That's why I said that.
I'd say Grant. I would stay there. But listen, we never thought that Steph Curry would be better than his pops. And let's go here real quick. Watch. For all the talk that LeBron is from Akron, though, do people know that Steph Curry is born in the same city LeBron James, Akron, Ohio?
Well, I did not know that. Until he played LeBron in the championship, and he said, I can't wait to win one for my home. I'm going to bring it back. And I was like, yo, is he trying to be funny? What does he mean by that? Like, I didn't know what the hell. He was like, nope, I was born here, so I'm bringing the championship home. I was like, yo, this dude is wild. But,
yeah.
I did not know that. Get Davis.
To stay
like here,
watch. Stay
about.
Davidson with me, though. To stay here, Davidson with me real quick, though. How excited were you watching this young guy on SportsCenter? You and I watch SportsCenter heavy and watching him watch Madness and watching his development. You and I seen it firsthand. Before he got drafted, what was your take on him at Davidson those couple of years? You watched him, especially in that tournament when he was the one-man gang.
You know what's crazy? Even seeing Steph Curry unleashed, you see a guy who's a prolific scorer who can shoot, you still did not know how it would translate into the NBA. So while I definitely appreciated it, remember, the guy was still a ninth pick. Just think about that. He was still a ninth pick. When AI was doing
Seventh pick in
okay,
the 2009 draft.
He's the seventh pick. When AI was
because
doing
because my
type
Knicks
of stuff,
had the eighth pick. My Knicks had the eighth pick, and we could have had
When AI did what Steph did in college, AI was the number one pick. Steph was a prolific scorer the same way, and mm-hmm. They took one of my favorite players, number one in that draft, Blake Griffin.
To remind the people, it's Blake Griffin, Hasheem Thabeet, James Harden, Ricky Rubio, Johnny Flynn, and Tyler Hansbrough. Like, those are the standout guys in that draft.
Hasheem Thabeet. Everybody, this is a quick sidebar, everybody wants to talk about how much of a bust Kwame Brown was. Thabeet was the number two pick, and I think he lasted for 3 years in the NBA. Kwame Brown lasted 12 years. So y'all better do the math with me, man, and really know what a true bust is. All right.
Oh, man. But listen, man, drafted by the Warriors, right? Was it Mark Jackson was at the helm and everything like that? Like you said, do we know that his game would translate? And I think his stature also plays a part, though, right? Because he was so small, we thought he might get beat up and everything and get manhandled on the defensive end.
When people say he's so small, he's 6'3". AI was 6'.
Right.
Foot.
Steph Curry is 6'3". Like, so I never knew. Put it this way. Everybody was wrong on Steph Curry. Everybody. Because there was no legitimate reason why the dude wasn't higher than he was. Let's just keep it real, man. Like, you got to keep it real. 6'3",
yes,
in the backcourt. When did 6'3" in the backcourt become short?
I don't know, because if you look at that, Magic obviously was an anomaly, 6'9", right? But for the most part, you and I come from
pick at 6'1".
Right, but you and I from the Isaiah Thomas, John Stockton,
Kenny Anderson, Tim
Hardaway. Like, those brothers are small.
Yeah, so that whole, oh, he might be too small, it just, put it this way, there was no legitimate reason. Everybody just got it wrong on Steph Curry, except the Warriors. The Warriors, the only one that was like, you really just passing up on the best shooter and leading scorer in college basketball. Six teams are just going to pass him up. Like,
trust me, son. Mike D'Antoni, because I remember Jalen Rose doing a show about this pre-draft show. I'll never forget this. The pre-draft show saying the Knicks are right there. Mike D'Antoni straight up, he didn't even really shy away from it. Obviously, you don't want to do that, tampering issues. But, hey, man. So we watch him in Golden State, Watts. And what is your take on his rookie season? Because he showed out his rookie season, man. And obviously, he's playing with Monte Ellis. My man, like, playing with Monte Ellis. So they had to trade Monte Ellis the next year. But what do you think about Steph's rookie year, though?
Monte Ellis completely dominated that team. Steph Curry does not have an alpha male personality. Monte Ellis does. Monte Ellis is the kind of basketball player that I'm not going to call him a bully, but he's the kind of guy that when you're the best player on the team, you're the most vocal, and no one can take the team from you. So it was going to be very difficult for Curry. And Monte Ellis said, why are you drafting him? You got me. I remember that vividly. When they drafted Steph Curry, Monte Ellis said, why are you drafting him? I'm here. So Monte Ellis was already feeling insecure when you're bringing a guy in here who basically does the same thing Monte Ellis does. Monte Ellis is a backdoor.
Dog, I'll give you an analogy. It was almost like Aaron Rodgers when the Green Bay Packers drafted the brother from the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers was like, why did you draft a quarterback? You got me. I'm still here.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's almost a camp,
right.
That kind of feel.
And you could just see that there was Steph Curry would never blossom and develop into who he is as long as Monte Ellis runs the team. Because Steph Curry does not have the personality to want to dominate and run a team. Which is why Draymond Green is so important to Steph's development, because Draymond Green takes all that leadership, walking, crazy stuff, while Steph can just
score. He's a bodyguard.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And make everybody put respect on Steph's name. Like, this is going to be a crazy analogy because people may not notice. But Wayne Gretzky Wayne Gretzky was Steph. And Wayne Gretzky had a play
exactly
who always protected him. From people who used to fight him, Gretzky had this play. I forget that dude's name, man.
I don't remember his name either, Watts. I know exactly
who
he was.
Yeah, but he was
the
enforcer who always mixed
shit.
It up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he
mm-hmm.
always mixed it up and kept Wayne Gretzky protected. And to me, that's what Draymond did. But here's the thing. They had to get rid of Monte Ellis. They had to.
Yes.
Because Steph had to develop. Steph had to
develop. Yeah.
And Steph had ankle problems.
Another analogy. That's like when Kobe and Eddie Jones, they had to get rid of Eddie Jones to make Kobe develop. That happens a lot of times in sports.
One of the greatest weirdnesses in basketball is the fact that Kobe had 2 years where he was not able to develop his greatness. He literally had it. He didn't get it. He didn't start till his third year. So the first 2 years, 7 points and then 15 points, wasted years. Kobe admitted it, and I admitted it.
Yep.
He was the number one leading vote getter his second year in the league, and he was coming off the bench for Eddie Jones. You had to give it to Eddie Jones. You had to give it to Eddie Jones.
You
know what I'm saying?
You had to give it to Eddie Jones.
And that's why you had to give it to Monte Ellis for Steph Curry. Steph Curry had ankle problems, so because of an ankle problem,
that's another
he really
thing.
Didn't know.
Hold on. Let me piggyback on what you said. That was injury. His ankles, that was a concern heavy with Steph's ankles,
Yes, it was.
That was very big. I remember people talking about that, harping on that hard body. Watts, let's go ahead, man. He's a seven-time All-Star. We go back to 2014, Watts. when he won his first MVP, his first championship for the Warriors since 1975. Let me ask you this. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, I don't want to do if it's a split. If we all effed up, I get it. But do the Warriors beat the Cavaliers with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love the first time they played?
I don't think they do. I don't think they. I don't think they would have. I just don't. I don't think there was. I think young Kyrie would have been just too much for them to handle. But he got injured. Kevin Love got injured. So with LeBron and Dellavedova, I'm sorry, LeBron, you were by yourself. You just was.
Facts. Facts. Watch. So me and you are watching Steph Curry, right? And then, yeah, we know he could drive and he got a perimeter game, but can we just hop on his range and him changing the game that you and I watched throughout the years? Literally, you and I watched this man change the landscape of how the NBA is being played as we speak in 2021, King.
It's amazing how fast he did it, too, because it was the 2014. I'll give you a game. On YouTube, they say the game that Steph Curry broke out. And you know what game they always show? And I remember that game. It was the game against the Knicks where he had 54 points. Do you remember that game?
It was in the Garden, my nigga. I remember that. It was an NBA night game. I remember that vividly. Trust me.
Yes.
I watched it.
And I remember that game, too. And yo, you know what's crazy? I was like, yo, Steph Curry did that? Like, here's the thing. I knew he could shoot, but it was very weird seeing him play like that. And remember, Kobe was still playing, and he put up a game like that against Kobe. And I was like, yo, this dude is now, he's giving it to the best players in the league, and he's like, he seems like he's offensively the best player on the court. And I had never thought that. In 2014-2015, it still didn't register until they won that championship. And then you're like, is this a real thing that we just saw with Steph Curry? Is he really this good? By the way, Steph Curry should have got the MVP, not Iguodala. Come on, man. Steph Curry got
great minds. Sir, great minds think alike, as the old cliche is termed. Should he have got the MVP over Andre Iguodala? I totally agree with you.
Absolutely.
You came in and played good defense, my nigga, but come on, man.
Now, here's the thing about Iggy's good defense. LeBron James led that whole series in points, rebounds, and assists. He averaged a triple-double that series. Why are you giving Iggy the MVP when LeBron James led the series in points, rebounds, and assists? I never understood that, man. That was sports writers getting cute, and then you can't make it, and you can't take it back when it was ridiculous.
Let me ask you this. Do you think when Steph is talking to Aisha, his wife, and his pops, and his close friends, he feels in heart of hearts that he got jerked by not winning that first finals MVP?
Iggy knows Steph was the MVP. Even Iggy knows, man. They just gave it to the wrong person. Just that simple. They just gave it to the wrong person. But little did we know that was going to be the beginning where Steph was going to become a household name to who he is now. The 2014-2015 year of Steph changed everything in basketball because he literally changed how the game was played.
You and I watched Vince Carter. He was an ESPN highlight. Can we say after Vince, even as much as I love LeBron and everything, was after Vince being highlight reels and everything, was Steph right after that like a big highlight reel after Vince? I know LeBron. Derrick Rose.
Well, to me, it wasn't. I didn't look at it that way. I didn't look at him as the highlight reel because remember, I didn't understand how important the three would become. Because you know, we're just watching.
Just,
we didn't know that it would literally become the shot of all shots. I didn't see it, but then, when they did that 73-9 season,
the next season.
That literally, first of all, this is where Steph is always going to have. When you have records that potentially are never going to be broken, you'll never forget it. See, I'm not the guy who says the season doesn't count because y'all didn't win it that year. Because here's the thing, why do we remember that they went 73-9? We watched basketball, 82-game season.
So stay right there for a second. So let me ask you this then, to piggyback on what you said. So not to go to football talk right quick, but the year the Patriots won all those games in a regular season and lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, how do you call that? What do you equate that to? Do you equate that as a bad season for the Patriots, all the games in a regular season win two playoff games and then the final game you lose?
And this is what I'll tell you. Me and you watching basketball always knew the greatest team was Wilt Chamberlain's team that won 33 games in a row and their record was 69-13. And then
Facts.
Jordan, if you can remember every single game that 95 Jordan team, that team did with
96
when they went 72-10. In our minds, we thought that could never, ever.
I thought that would never happen again.
We thought that would, and you couldn't see it because you literally can't lose more than two games a month for the entire season, the 6 months of the season.
That's
you
crazy.
Cannot lose more than two games a month.
That's
so if you do that,
crazy,
you lost 10 games. So to see Steph, you know the focus and how much dedication you got to be to get up for every NBA game and want to win it.
Motivation,
that 7-9
like
season was. That the concentration. I remember when LeBron's first year at Milwaukee, and LeBron's first year in Miami, they went on a 24 game. Do you remember that 24 game win streak they went on?
I live here. Trust me, I live out here.
Remember that win streak, right? When Dwayne Wade said, "Ah, oh, I'm
hey,
just thankful it's over. You don't know how much it, how I'm glad it's off our back."
Yeah.
Like when so. So nobody the Warriors thought like that. They were like, "Hold on, we starting off the season like 24-1 or some crazy shit." They started off with chips.
After a while, you see the door opening. Like, okay, this is attainable. This is very attainable for us to beat this record here.
And they went for it.
Everybody said
they shouldn't go for it. Don't go for it. Well, they went for it, and then they ended up losing the championship.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean, Steph Curry? So what does that mean? Steph Curry doesn't have any championships now. Is that how we're going to read it? Is Steph Curry's season? I don't have any championships. I have no rings. I have no championship rings. Well, the following year, he sacrificed his game, and they brought in Kevin Durant.
Before you go KD talk, though, let me just throw it out here. You know, the next year, he's the first player in NBA history to be a unanimous MVP, Watts. 50, 40, and 90 is his stats. 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 90% free throw, Watts.
Here's why he got the unanimous, why nobody could front on him. The team went 73-9. It's a regular season award.
Crazy.
There was no way you could find a reason to give the MVP to anybody else.
They nobody can't complete that.
Like everybody who's a writer and has a vote, everybody has their own biases, their own criteria, whatever. But the team was 73-9. He led the NBA in scoring, and he did not play the fourth quarter in the majority of those games.
That's
I remember
crazy.
That. He led the NBA in scoring. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, think about this. He led the NBA in scoring and did not play the majority of the third quarter. So you're like, my God, Steph Curry's about to just go on this run where he just averages 30 for the next 5 years. Well, what happened? Now we can go into they bring in Kevin Durant. And when they brought in Kevin Durant, that was the sacrifice the team decided to make for a championship.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was.
Hey, real quick, though. I got to be this guy. You know I'm a Klay Thompson guy. I want to give Klay Thompson his props on this Steph Curry appreciation. To have a Robin that he has and egos check at the door, I think Klay is probably one of the great – is a great person to have Steph next to him. That, you know what I'm saying, Steph can jack up his shots and not worry about Klay catching feelings or, you know, shit like that. You know, people play divide and conquer, and that shit doesn't work with Steph and Klay. And I love that niggas can't come between them. You know what I mean? They know what they bring together.
Divide and
you know
conquer
what I mean?
Came between. Do you believe divide and conquer came between Westbrook and KD?
Twice on Sunday.
So you believe outside forces divided them, and it wasn't KD who saw that
twice
it's not going to happen with me and this dude.
That happened
so
to Kobe and Shaq
so
also.
Outside forces. So you believe who?
I believe outside voices with Kobe and Shaq also. The same with Russ and KD.
Okay. Okay. All right. I just wanted to know.
The same with Bobby Bonilla and Jeff Kent, Francisco Giants, when they were beefing. But that's for the baseball heads. We don't know nothing about baseball. Sometimes me and Watts can sneak in some baseball balls in there. Let me just go there. Wait, Watts. In 2012, 272 three-pointers. In 2015, 286 threes from Steph Curry. I think that's crazy, man. Is Steph Curry a top 10 NBA player of all time?
I don't know yet. That's the top 10 is that's just
let's play it out then, right? Let his off career play out.
Yes, we got to let his career play out.
Fair enough.
God
fair
damn. There's some great motherfuckers in this league, man.
Yeah, facts. Fair enough. We'll talk. I agree with you, Watts. I don't think we can make that call yet. I'm in agreement. If you're going that bag, I'm in that bag with you. I don't think, you know, I asked you that question because I've seen people asking that question on social media the other day, but I don't think that you could just simply say yes and no right now. I think we got to wait. You know what I mean? He damn sure has the accolades and the, I mean, three championships. Change the game. Change the landscape of how niggas play ball. Made young niggas feel that they can go on
the
basketball court
and
don't depend on being athletic
anymore.
Let's
be clear. This is when you know you're great. When you have LeBron James adding the deep three to his repertoire, like 15 years later, like me and you know, LeBron, why are you taking 30-footers? There's no reason.
Right.
LeBron never took the – now he takes the 30-footer? He just – and that's part of LeBron's greatness, but it just goes to show you how Steph Curry has literally influenced the entire way people play ball.
And watch, you and I play basketball. We know how this works. Imagine you're playing against Steph Curry, right? And you're trying to pick this guy up half court because you got to pick him up half court, watch. Because any time he gets a ring, once he sees a light, man, once that guy gets a spacing, man, it's over. It's literally over for you, bro. And it's like your defense, like you can't even get mad at a coach. Think about this. As a coach, can you get mad at a defender when your defender is guarding Steph Curry and Steph is shooting threes in his mouth? Can you really get mad if you're a coach?
You know what's funny? The playing game against the Lakers, I remember LeBron and them were – do you realize they were trying to trap him the entire game? Like, the way defenses play him now, and in the last
Memphis,
two games –
Memphis did that hard body. The Grizzlies did that
hard body. I know, and he still had 37. And this is what makes Steph great, that he understood he has to – his shots now have to be like 1 second. The second I get even just a look, I'm letting it go. I mean, you know how great a shooter you have to be? He's so great, you can't let him get a look. That's what makes him just unbelievable. You cannot have him get a look at the basket or it's over. You know what I'm saying?
It's a wrap.
And it's funny. Now, this is what's going to happen. I swear to God, if Clay can give them anything next year and make teams pay for how they're going to – because they're going to say, Clay, you got to prove to us you're still the same shooter you are. Teams are going to want it to be proven.
That's not
going to
last long. Clay
has to make teams pay that y'all ain't going to do this no more. I'm outside.
You know how this works, though. You're asking Clay to shoot J's, though. It's not like he's going into the rim and trying to dunk
athletic. I understand that.
I think your jump shot doesn't go anywhere.
No, I agree with you. But he still got to do it. He can't come back. This is his comeback season. He's only averaging 18 points a game. He has to come back and be like how Kevin Durant came back. Kevin Durant came back and was Kevin Durant. Do you agree? Like, Kevin Durant came back, and it's still the Kevin Durant we knew before.
I agree, bro.
Say about Clay that you're 100% confident Clay comes back, it's the same Clay.
Right.
No, I'm asking you, do you feel that confident?
Yes, I'm confident saying that.
Then the Warriors are going to be a
Clay
problem.
Clay wants it, man. Come on, man. You think Clay don't want – my nigga, you don't think Clay wants to come back out there and play? You're going to do what you got to do to try to get back on the court.
No, I didn't say come out there and play. Come out there and beat Clay. Be the second best shooter in the NBA. It's going to be you.
TBA, sir, to be announced. How about that? I'm going to that bag. TBA. How about that? Is Steph Curry the best shooter ever, though? Is he the best shooter ever, Watts?
Yes.
that you ever seen.
Yes.
Now, hold on.
Yes.
You and I, you and I come from the Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, Larry Bird era, sir.
He's better than
Craig Hodges.
He's better than him. By the way, don't put Larry Bird in that category. Don't put Larry Bird in that category. Don't
nah,
do that.
We gotta
don't
put
do that
Larry
to me, man.
In there. You bugging.
No, you don't.
Gotta put Larry
no, you don't.
You crazy?
You cannot
Why
put
not?
Larry Bird in the same category as Steph Curry as a shooter because he's nowhere near Steph Curry as a shooter.
Let me tell you why. I did too, sir. I was outside also. We're not doing that. When Larry Bird shot the ball, my guy, you got nervous. You didn't think it was always going to – you thought he was going to go in. You thought it was a bigger chance of it going in the hoop than it was not. We're not doing Larry Legend like that, my guy. You're bugging out. His jay was wet. Lethal. Come on,
you
friend.
You talking about Larry Bird. You talking about Larry Bird like he was Wayne Gretzky. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Sam, Larry Bird has three rings. What are you talking about?
Are you talking about Larry Bird?
Like –
I'm sorry, when I think about the Celtics,
man,
I ain't think about Walter McCarty. I think about Larry Bird.
Wait a minute. Are you about to hit me with the Doug Gottlieb, Colin Cowherd, Larry Bird is better than LeBron James talk?
I didn't say nobody. I didn't ever say no.
You about to hit me with that kind of talk?
I never did who's better talk. Nope. Because I don't know who's better talk. I'm strictly sticking to what I see from what I saw from Larry Bird. I'm not saying he's better than anybody.
So
I'm seeing what I saw from him.
He
was
shooter.
A fucking killer. Dog, my
so
nigga.
So what
you
saw
when you
from
tell
Larry
nigga,
Bird
hold on,
as
hold on,
a shooter?
Hold on. My nigga, when you tell niggas on a basketball court you're going to get the rock and you're going to shoot it from a spot and you do it, I mean, what the fuck? I can't do nothing with that. I'm sorry. I've seen YouTube highlights. Y'all see niggas go crazy with Larry Bird on the other side opposing bench. He put on clinics, my nigga, clinics. Clinics. I'm not doing Larry Bird that, dog. I'm sorry. My favorite white boy, my 50 Cent voice, man. One of my favorite white boys, man. My 50 Cent Curtis Jackson voice, one of my favorite white boys, man. But back to Steph, man. Back to Steph, though. So are we in agreement? Where are we putting him in the top point guard of all time? Are we going to that back?
Steph Curry.
Hmm? Are you putting him after Magic Johnson? Stockton and those guys?
I don't.
Isaiah Thomas?
He's absolutely over Stockton, man. Like, come on, man. Make your case for Stockton over Steph. I'm listening.
I'm not making a case for Stockton. I would not put Stockton over Curry. I'm just giving John Stockton his kudos. I'm not going to argue
the
scrub.
The only point guard I will put over Steph Curry, potentially. You know what? I'm going to keep it real. I'm still putting Isaiah over Steph Curry as of right now.
Wow,
I'm putting Magic and Isaiah over Steph Curry, and the reason why is the reason why is because I think Isaiah has the worst history, the way people look at his career in NBA basketball, and
blame
it's
Jordan.
Pathetic.
Blame Mike and those guys.
I'm not blaming Jordan. No, guys. I watched it. I know what I saw. And I know Isaiah beat Magic, Jordan.
No. That's not what I'm saying, fam. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying blame Jordan for the perception of how people look at Isaiah is what I'm saying. And he played for the Pistons. I think I played a part two. People looked at him as dirty.
Let me tell y'all how great
Isaiah was. Phenomenal.
While we talk about Steph Curry in college, Isaiah as a sophomore in college won the NCAA championship under
Bob Indiana.
Knight. He was so great. He was so great. Bob Knight said, there's nothing more I can do for you. You have to go pro. Think about that. This is that great. And people wasn't going early back then. Mm-hmm. Isaiah was so gifted and great. Isaiah was also picked to go to the U.S. Olympic team in 1980. When they boycotted, it would have been him, Mark McGuire, and Bernard King, an insane team.
But they boycotted.
Because
I don't want to say those bars. Hold on, save those bars for an Isaiah Thomas appreciation, my guy. Wow.
No, I'm telling you why. I have Isaiah over Steph Curry. I do not have Steph Curry over Isaiah Thomas. Steph Curry's the greatest shooter. So I'm giving you two point guards that I pick over Steph Curry. Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson.
That's what it is, man. Our Steph Curry appreciation, man. Watch, take us home, Magic King.
of Grand Army Plaza.
Who?
Grand Army Plaza.
The home of, that's the PSA of the home of Grand Army Plaza? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Why? Why are we the home of Grand Army Plaza?
You tell me.
Even
three,
though
you
I should
tell
go to that
me
library.
Why PSA pop is
well,
the... You tell,
I, used
okay,
to go, I used to go to that library. I used to go to that library on a regular basis. I pulled a lot of shorties in that library. That's a fact. Especially did this portion of that video that I got it made over there. That's what I think about it.
Okay, PSA Hip Hop, the home of Grand Army Plaza.
Okay, that's what it is, man. That's what it is, man. PSA Hip Hop, man. It's your boy 3 and Watts, man. Fuck with your boys. Y'all know the vibes already. What?